Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready to ride?
Of injustice and allow listeners to ask questions and seek advice. Each week, we feature guests who have been personally affected by the criminal justice system and or making a difference in the Black community. My name is Melinda Robertson, and I am your host and member of the WPGR, all-female radio network. I am the founder of Black Mothers for Justice, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit that's a support system for mothers with children wrongfully or rightfully incarcerated. My latest book, A Black Mother's Guide, How to Survive the Criminal Justice System, is now available and was written out of necessity because statistics show that one in every three Black boys will go to prison in their lifetime. This much-needed book provides information about arraignments, bail, Miranda rights, public defenders, etc. The purpose is to educate and enlighten mothers about an unfair and unjust judicial system. Please visit www.blackmothersforjustice.com to order your copy today. Tonight's featured guest, Beverly Smith Brown, is the founder and executive director of Mama Safe Haven, a 501c3 nonprofit that provides community resources to more than 5,000 families in wards 4, 5, 6, and 7 in the District of Columbia, feeding the homeless, providing rental assistance, emergency shelter, etc. In addition, they advocate for families of victims of gun violence. Please help me welcome the woman of the hour, Beverly Smith Brown, to the show. Hey, Queen, how are you this evening?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm great, thanks. Yes, I'm good. I'm grateful to have you, you know, have the opportunity to have a woman of your caliber on the show. So let's get to it, and let's let the people know who Beverly Smith Brown is. So you are the CEO of Mama Safe Haven. When was it founded, and where did you, the name originate?
Okay, so we were founded in January 2014 is when we were introduced to the community. Mama Safe Haven, well, actually, it goes back a little further than that. I always like to say that my mom started Mama Safe Haven. I grew up in Southeast D.C. on Hillside Road, a one-way street at the top of Benner Road, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she would take care of a lot of the children who parents who worked, and she would feed people who needed something to eat. So it was something that my mom always did. We always had extra people living with us and sleeping in the living room and just making room where she could. So it really started back then. But with my son, he caught his first charge when he was 12, and he's been in and out of the juvenile system. So it was something that I wanted to do back in, I'll say, 2007 and 8. When my son would, get arrested and run from the law and be, you know, out in the community. And, you know, I felt like people was harboring my son in the community, accepted a lot of it. So I went out into the community and I knew that I wasn't the only mom that did not condone the behaviors of our youth who were wayward. And so we did an event where we asked questions of, do you have a child in the juvenile system? Are you wanting to take your streets back? And we had at least 15 people to show up for that event. But the name actually, back then it was called Sisters United. But the name actually, my sister Mary, I wanted to name it Murray's Safe Haven, which is my mom's name. Mm-hmm. I was telling her, I said, I wanted to be Murray's Safe Haven. And because I had a daycare center called Murray's Little Lamb and Murray's Affordable Lawn Service. And my sister said, no, don't call it Murray. Why not Mama? Because that's what we called my mother. She passed mm-hmm. away when I was 19 years old. But that's where the name came from. My sister Murray, who did not want it to be Murray's Safe Haven, she said, won't you call it Mama's Safe Haven? So that's where the name came from.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Wow. So mm-hmm. so you obviously, you're a chip off the old block because Mama started the Safe Haven and you just carrying it, keeping it going,
that's
keeping
right.
her legacy going. Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's
fine. So at what age did you realize that there was such a need in the community? I'm assuming you've always known from your mom, huh?
Well, yeah, it's you know, it's funny that you say that because back when crack cocaine hit our community in the 80s, it hit my family really hard. My mom became addicted to crack cocaine. And my sister and I started selling crack out of our home to keep some of the money in the house. And so it was, I had a sister who ran off with a guy from Panama because of a drug deal that went wrong. And she never came back. So my mom ended up passing away when I was 19, 3 days after my 19th birthday. Her anniversary of her death is actually about to come up. But it was something when I was younger, just seeing so much in my community. And like you said, my mom, early years before crack came, it was so, you know, the community was full of block parties and, you know, everyone looked out for each other. It was really a sense of community, you know. And I literally watched the community go down. And I don't want to say go down because we're still thriving. But I saw certain areas and certain families who were impacted by that crack epidemic. I watched those families and those generations of families, members go down, including mine. So the passion started, I always wanted to be a school teacher. And like you just said, it really started with my mom and really just helping my own family. I'm number 8 of 9 children. I'm the baby girl of 6 girls. And 3 of my sisters did not make it to see 40. I had a sister that passed away from a Dipper overdose, PCP overdose, and domestic violence. I'm a domestic violence survivor. I'm really literally healing. It's a healing process for me to do this work.
Oh, yes. Wow, that's a lot, sis. So what type of services? That's a lot, but you know what the thing is, there's healing through that. You know what I mean? And that's probably, that explains your passion. That explains your commitment because you've experienced a lot of the things that a lot of the women have gone through. So that's what types of services does Mama Safe Haven provide the people that's affected by trauma?
So we have a healing center. I am the founder and executive director of Mama Safe Haven, but I'm also an employee of the Alliance of Concerned Men. And with the Alliance of Concerned Men, I'm on a trauma recovery team. So from October 2017, I was in responding to crime alerts in the zip code of 232 and stationed at the hospital. In October 2018, my family was impacted. My nephews were gunned down in Southeast D.C. And then 10 days later, her only 2 sons were murdered within 1 month time. So already providing services. What we basically do is look for the victim and the family and connect them with resources such as the victim crimes application and really just take care of the basic needs right then and there. If they need to call someone or need anything, we really ought to, the community support right there to provide those services. So in January 2019, Mama Safe Haven, we launched our Healing Center to provide wraparound services around grieving mothers. So we do retreats. We have grief counseling. We do sexual abuse support groups. We've been on retreat. So we go to Massanutten for 3 nights and 4 days. We just did a makeover. Mothers Are Powerful is something else that we do, where we do meditation sessions on Fridays and Bible study on Mondays, all virtual. We also provide COVID-19 testing, yoga, and support groups. So that's just some of the things that we provide for our families who are – and then we also partner – Mama Safe Haven, we don't do anything by ourselves. We partner with Five Medicine. We partner with other organizations and also government agencies that provide the services. We like to look at ourselves as a bridge that connects victims of violence and those who have been affected by trauma, connecting them to those resources to get to them, to get to the next level in their lives.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. Wow. I'm just so, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. And I'm just so thankful for something like Mama Safe Haven, because there are just so many families that have been affected, especially by gun violence, and they need those resources. So I just commend you guys for seeing a need and, you know, doing something about it. So I just want to take a moment and tell the callers that they can press 1 if they would like to join the conversation and speak with you. So are there any requirements? Like, how does one become a part of Mama Safe Haven?
Well, really, it's really sort of like a pledge. You know, we all want to be a part of our own rescue. And that's what we want. In my mind, I believe that everyone wants to take part in their rescue or to be a part of the solution in the community. So those are the pledges that we do. It's really just, you know, something that let me go back. We have a 40-question needs assessment. So that's really the first step. For someone to be a part of Mama Safe Haven, because we really want to check in on all of our family members to make sure everyone is okay. So in those questions, we ask about mental health and income and how far is the closest grocery store or liquor store, things like that, to really understand the demographics of a person that we're working with. And then the next step is just really to participate. We put a lot of information out. We host at least 3 events a month. We have at least 1 workshop, 1 field trip, and 1 event. So we're always in the community building just positive relationships. We also super excited that we just gained some more partners. So we are partners with Thrive DC, who will be providing us with 75 bags of groceries. We also are partnered with the Capital Area Food Bank and Martha's Table. What's the other one? Bread for the City. So we are super excited about being able to provide meals. So we have a 16-passenger van. So we have a transportation service where we drop off food and meals to families. So to be a part of it is just really to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. It's just as simple as that. Do the needs assessment. We send out information. We partner also with Serve Your City, Moms Demand Action, Mutual Aid Ward 6. They just donated like 20 laptops and book bags for us to provide to the community. So we always just, again, we connect them with resources. So in order to be a part of Mama Safe Haven, we want you to take advantage of the resources that we have and participate in our events. We have our 3rd annual You Go Girl conference coming up. So just really want to bring positive energy to the table. So, yeah. And then they can always send us an email. They can give us an email at info@mamasafehaven.org, or they can give us a call at 202-903-5122.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, and there's such a need for it, especially now during the pandemic. Speaking of which, has Mama Safe Haven been affected in any way by the pandemic, and if so, in what way?
Yes, we have. Right now, Mama Safe Haven, we do not have our own space. All of our space, what we do with providing safe spaces is that we partner with housing, so we are located. Some of our safe spaces is at Potomac Gardens Housing. We're also in Congress Park at the Malcolm X Opportunity Center, Highland Community Center. So we have several community centers that are shut down due to COVID. So Mama Safe Haven, we have a fundraiser because we are in need of our own space to be able to provide programming in a safe distance. You know, social distancing, but still being able to provide those services. And then on the other side, we really have been able to see a lot of partnerships happen. So it's kind of been like a good and a bad thing because we have gained a lot of partners during these uncertain times. So we really see a lot of people coming to the table with support. So we have received a lot of support as it relates to resources, but we're still just lacking that space of our own to be able to have jurisdiction over what time we close and what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is going to be coming soon, I'm sure, because of the effort. Yes, we're going to claim that. You hear me? Because we know. Yes. No, we're gonna, I wish I could touch you. We could touch and agree on that. But I definitely foresee that happening. Are there other locations of Mama Safe Haven outside of D.C.?
Now, we also partner with a domestic violence shelter in Atlanta. I'll actually be in Atlanta for 3 days and about two more weeks, mid-October. Every domestic violence, well, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we go out there and do a presentation out there in October and in February. February is Teen Dating Violence Month. So we're in Atlanta. We also do programming in Virginia. We have some safe houses in Fairfax County that we provide workshops for as well. And then we are speaking with some people in Mississippi and Alabama to be able to extend and have different chapters in different states to be able to provide the services that we're providing right here in D.C. So it's coming. It's coming.
Absolutely.
But right now, it's D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and Atlanta for right now.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you mentioned earlier that Mama Safe Haven has a healing center that provides families with grief and substance abuse counseling. Why was this important to you because of the need? I mean,
like I said, for my family was hit hard. All of the work that we do at Mama Safe Haven, it really is in connection with what I've experienced, our board members have experienced, and it really has just kind of happened organically with just experiencing it and knowing the need and then seeing that it works. And I know that counseling sometimes can be, you know, a little taboo and, you know, in our community. But once I went to counseling, I saw, you know, how helpful it was when I had someone who I can share with without it going to someone else or, you know, someone outside that can actually give me an outside opinion, unbiased opinion. So the grief counseling really came from, you know, like I said, three of my sisters passed away before 40. One of my sisters had six, one had six children, one had eight children and a grandchild. So my family literally has been through so much grief with my mom passing away and then a cousin and my brother passed. And mental illness is something that runs in my family. So there's things that we can look over in our community, but until we face it head on, it's just going to spring up in a different type of face. You know, it's going to be the same thing, but just a different face. So, you know, the grief counseling, the sexual abuse, I was sexual physically abused as a child and as an adult. I was gang raped when I was in middle school, when I went to Hart Middle School. I was gang raped. Mm-hmm. So those were some things that I held on to, like I barely told anyone until I went to counseling and was able to get it out and realize that, you know, it wasn't my fault, you know.
Right.
And then some shame of could I have, you know, maybe prevented somebody else from experiencing that if I would have said something. So there was a lot of guilt and shame that I had to deal with. It wasn't until I was able to deal with that I was able to write a book. I have a book entitled He Kept Me. You know, wrote a script, enter into a contest, and won. Wrote a script about Dr. Maya Angelou's poem, Still I Rise, and won, and have a short film out. So I was able to do all those things because I was able to look at everything that I've been through and not, you know, feel a pain of it when I wrote that book. So that grief counseling and everything, that's what it came from. Like I said, just experiencing it firsthand. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I'm so glad that you did seek counseling and you were able to, you know, tap into those things that you had buried for so long, you know what I mean? And to actually be able to free yourself from it, because freeing you, you know, your friend becoming free yourself has enabled you to be there for so many others. Through this healing center. I know you said you guys offer meditation. Meditation, that important to be added to the healing center. Was that a part of your counseling, or that's just something that you felt that would be good for the mother?
Well, you know, I give God all of the glory and honor. You know, it was really my spiritual walk that gave me the strength to, you know, really to keep going. And just seeing that, you know, I wasn't by myself, even though I look around and don't see anyone, I know that I have a high power walking with me. One of the things I realized for me, you know, I was a single mom. I had three children at the age of 19, went through a horrible domestic violence relationship where I was pushed out of a two-story window, have a plate in my jaw, you know. Literally went through so much, right? But it was one of those things where I felt like that was my breaking point. You know, I just felt like enough was enough, and I'm going to just throw myself on the mercy of the Lord. Like, I surrender all over to you. But I thought about it. You know, it took me all of that, right? It took me to see my cousin, my favorite beautiful cousin, die slow of AIDS. Right. And she tell me, you know, this disease is supposed to kill me. Why I'm not dead yet? You know, didn't want to take her medicine. And those were the things that she was saying. And I knew that there was no peace in her. You know, she was not at peace with what was going on with her body, and didn't have a strong, something stronger to hold on to. So the meditation was something that I thought will be able to reach where we can go within. Without stepping on any, not saying stepping on any toes, but a lot of, just my own personal opinion, if a person is not broken all the way down and want it, you know, then they're not going to receive what is for them. So I think meditation is a natural way for them to go deep within and see what's on the inside of them without feeling broken or that broke down. Like, you don't have to be gang raped and see your loved ones dead. You don't have to go through all of that to feel it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like meditation is something that I've really picked up maybe about 2-3 years ago, studying under the leadership of Dr. Wayne Dyer, just meditating on him and his teachings. Of, you know, how we are not just flesh, you know, and we are more than our hair and our eyes, and meditation helps us to be able to do that, because you go within and you don't even really feel your body anymore. You just feel your essence. I really want anyone that experienced any trauma to go within. And that's where that meditation came from, for them to go within and,
and create from the inside and bring it out to help
Because I've learned through my struggles that tapping into the pain will birth the purpose. You know what I mean? Because we have a tendency to run from the pain, and we hide from the pain, and we don't talk about the pain. But that is when you get your breakthrough, and that's, I can't stress that enough. You know, that's when the breakthrough comes. So, wow, you have an incredible story, and I'm just so amazed at your strength. And I commend you for using your ability to go in and, you know, use that to help somebody else. You know what I mean? And, so I will remind callers again that if you press 1, you can join the conversation and speak with Beverly and be a part of this conversation. So Mama Safe Haven has been featured on WHUR and many other media outlets. To what do you attribute the success of your organization?
To God. I give God all of the glory and all of the honor. You know, I really feel that it is, you know, divine connections that have led us down certain paths. Like I said, even the relationship with the Alliance of Concernment and Mr. Tyrone Parker, I didn't know him prior to working with him. I've heard of the organization, but I didn't know him. And, I mean, it was just every step is ordered. And if there was a camera or someone watching every step, they would see that I can't take no credit for it. I just thank God for giving me the strength to be obedient, and not all the time because I'm not perfect. But I think that with I'm going to tell you, I'll give some to my heavenly angels. I really feel like my sisters are encamped around me. So I spend a lot of time alone and in quiet places because of the pain from missing them. I still usher in their presence sometimes. I'm like, you know, my sister, Sharon, who passed away in 2013, was bold. She said what she wanted to say, and I was never that person. And when she passed away, I just got the strength to be bold. My sister Vanessa, who passed away in 2006, I mean, she would give you the shirt off her back. I mean, literally, I've seen her go in her deep freezer giving people meat out of her deep freezer. And I wasn't like that. You know, I always just focused on me and my children. And people would call me selfish. I was known for being, like, just worrying about me and my children. And when my sister passed away, I just, you know, it really broke me down. And I just truly believe that the parts of them jumped in me. And I call them my heavenly angels in the wind beneath my wings. So my children, I have 4 children and 4 grandchildren. My husband, oh, my goodness. My husband, Dante Brown, I'm telling you, he is truly, you know, just a match made in heaven. He's not perfect. I'm not perfect, but God put us together, and I'm telling you, it's just as perfect. I haven't seen, you know, someone that works so hard to allow me the freedom, you know. And when I say freedom, not like he can chain me in, but not having to worry about much, and able to focus on my heart's desires, especially since my children are all grown now. You know, and once I raised my children, my husband showed up. So, you know, so I really call it ordered steps.
Oh, yes, definitely, girl, definitely. Yes, and everything is in divine order. You know, because like for me, I've never been married, but I've never had a husband, but I have always been committed to motherhood. You see what I'm saying? So for me, that commitment to motherhood has definitely been a joyful experience. But I do pray that becoming a wife is part of God's plan for me, because I just think that marriage is a beautiful thing, you know. So I'm just so glad that you have the support system that you have in place, because you are so deserving of it, everything that you've gone through and stuff. You know what I mean? So yeah. I just, the only thing I can say is look at God. You know?
Yeah.
So for any callers, you know, callers or listeners that are listening to this show, just know that everything happens in divine order. And no matter what your situation looks like now, we are living proof that it gets better. So, okay, Mama Safe Haven offers all types of programs, I mean training programs. What type of training programs are they?
So I'm so glad you asked that, because we are launching our Mama Safe Haven staffing agency. So we have been in the works. So let me go back. We have a Black Wall Street program, and we partner with Mr. Donnie Glover with Be More News, and we do the Black Wall Street. We have honored 45 individuals, organizations, and businesses with a Black Wall Street Award since 2015. And with that program, we offer Business 101 with Mr. Sir Charles Curry. We also offer financial literacy with Ms. Jewel. We also offer marketing 101 and professionalism. So those are some training courses that we would do within our Black Wall Street program. Due to the COVID, and I'm going to be honest, some funding issues, we haven't been able to provide the free services for our Black Wall Street program, but we have been blessed to be able to do a staffing agency where we'll be connecting qualified candidates with the perfect employer. And that's beginning October. Actually, we have our first intro to training this Friday, Zoom. And so we're working with, like I said, very, very professional employers. And our goal is to bring qualified candidates with them. And the training consists of some professionalism. We'll be working on integrity, time management, financial literacy, really some soft skills to make sure that the candidate is going out the door, not only representing themselves, but also the staff and agency for other people who will be coming behind them. As it relates to finding different jobs, whether that be temp or permanent.
That is excellent. So that staffing, that starts this week?
So, yeah, so what we're doing is we have training. So everyone will be stamped with a certified stamp from Mama Safe Haven once they complete the training. And the training is a month-long training. The staffing agency will go into effect November the 1st.
Okay.
But we have already connected. We have already connected over 20 individuals with jobs, just in our relationships with the government and different private sectors.
That is excellent. If there's some listeners on the line that would like to participate, is it too late to participate? Did they have to register?
No, it's not too late. What they can do is they can send an email to info. That's info at Mama Safe Haven. That's MOMMASSAFEHAVEN.org. If they send an email and say that they are interested in our staffing agency, we are working in the area of child care, security, building maintenance, administrative assistant, and mental health. So that's behavior health, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
So those are the different areas that we will be looking for.
Okay. So question, do they have to be a D.C. resident?
No, they don't. We also have some, they can live, actually, because we have some virtual positions.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's excellent. Okay, so I'll make sure that I repeat, and when I post it, that we'll let them know. Oh, that's excellent.
Okay.
Yes. So how many mothers would you say has Mama Safe Haven counseled over the years?
Wow, that number, I'd say at least 5,000, more than 5,000, because we have our DC's Youth Has Talent program. We work with over, we have at least 200 or 300 youth who participate in that program. And that's a talent show that we do every Black History Month, but we also keep in touch with our youth throughout the year to keep them engaged with other opportunities of performing or engaged in our DC Film Life program. Every program that we operate, we with our youth, we touch the families. We make sure that the families are on the same accord with the information that we're sending out to the youth. So we make sure that we do age appropriateness and send that same information out to the moms and encourage them to come out to our Never Give Up program, which was inspired by my cousin and my sister who gave up on life, and to encourage people to never give up, to dream big, to work hard. And we encourage moms to come out to that. We send literature home to the parents as well. Every summer, for the last 5 years, we participated in the Murrenburg Summer Youth Employment Program. And with that program, we work with 45 youth in the summer creating films. So we give youth opportunities to write scripts and learn about camera work and set design. And we touch those families as well. So we have several programs. We have Getting Over the Hump. Hump is Help Under Much Pressure. That's a potluck where we give people opportunity to do it anonymous by just writing it down and putting it in the bucket to keep the conversation going. And then also with we target mothers. We do an outreach where we do giveaways in front of the grocery store. So we have mothers sign up. So we have mothers sign up, and we do the needs assessment. So we have over 3,500 needs assessment completed, and that's just for the head of household.
Wow.
And that was just for this. That was just this summer. Like, our summer youth worked so hard to getting those needs assessments completed. Babe.
So you guys also affiliated with some of the DC middle schools or high schools as well?
Oh yeah. So all of our program and all of our talent shows for the last five.
Okay.
Also partner with Woodson. So with our talent shows, we reach out to all of the schools. Duke Ellington, we don't leave no school behind when we do our talent shows. We have touched every school in the city and invited their youth to be a part of our talent shows. So that's actually where we get our youth from. It's from the school system. So we partner with the schools. Actually, our first contract was with the schools. We were inside of Collegiate Prep, Woodson Senior High School, and Hart Middle School. And we were doing our Never Give Up workshop. That was the first thing that we rolled out outside of our talent show was to Never Give Up program that we were doing in the schools.
That is excellent. That's excellent. So I know you mentioned earlier that Mama Safe Haven hosts the You Go Girl Transformation Conference every year. What kind of conference is this, and for what ages?
Okay. So our conference is for all females. And is really an opportunity for us to do a multitude of things within one day. We don't do a stretched out days by days. It's one of those opportunities where we really, last year we did, it was a cowgirl thing, but we also focused on mental health and trauma. So we had a panel that dealt with trauma and gave them an opportunity to do a presentation to speak out about it.
Oh, yes. And you said there's no age limit. I mean, are they teens, preteens, or is
it? It's all ages. So that's one of the things. One of the things we have is, so that's is that we break it down for our age.
Mm-hmm.
And we break it down for our age is concerned. And so the majority of the, it's kind of hard to say because this is our third one. And I'm going to tell you, we have had anywhere from a 2-year-old little girl to an 83-year-old woman in our You Go Girl. So a lot of our programming is intergenerational. Mm-hmm. Want to mention Ms. Elvira Patrick, who does our sewing classes. She's a senior in Congress Heights, and she comes out with 6 sewing machines and teaches our youth how to sew. But a lot of our programming is really intergenerational. So it's really all ages. So I can't say that it's mainly teens, because then we'll have our 6 to 10-year-olds. Because we reach out to Simon Elementary, and then we also work with DYRS, so we may have, have different teams that'll bring them out.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. So this year's Go Girl Conference is going to be held on October the 24th. Can you tell the listeners the time, the location, and all the details?
Yes, so the location is going to be at the Youth Service Center. That's 1000 Mount Olivet Road. It's in Northeast. I think it's 20002. And that will be we're going to be hosting that from 9 to 4. It's actually super excited. We're going to be doing another Glam Squad. We're going to bring the Glam Squad out again. And we're doing photo shoots this time. We're also doing a panel discussion, and we have an opportunity for the young ladies to give their speech because we're working on impact statements. So we know we have a lot of leaders and mothers who have a voice, women who have a voice. So we have different contests that's going on right now. To prepare for who will be receiving awards and also who will be participating in the speaking opportunity there. So we're doing a whole presentation. But it's really all around transformation, thinking about the unknown or what they thought they couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So can you, I want to remind listeners that if you would like to call in, you can press number 1 to join the conversation. So Mama Safe Haven is involved and partners with so many other organizations throughout the DMV. And I was just wondering, like last weekend's event that you guys hosted, it was for mothers with sons or children incarcerated, correct?
No, so it was for Mothers Are Powerful. So it was really for all mothers.
Uh-huh.
I am a credible messenger for the DYRS program. So we did have some whose youth were incarcerated. And then we had maybe, to be exact, we had 8 moms who had youth who were incarcerated. We had 10 moms whose sons were killed in the streets of D.C., and then we had 7 moms who were just Mama Safe Haven moms who came out to be a part of the event.
Wow.
So it was really an eclectic group, but one of the main things is that all of them have experienced some kind of trauma and is definitely taking the driver's seat to their future and what they want out of life.
Yes, and it's so good to see so many mothers so receptive to the information, because the thing is, the reality is that a lot of mothers are broken, you know, especially single mothers whose children are that have been killed or wrongfully or rightfully incarcerated. It's a heavy burden to carry, and I just commend Mama Safe Havens for recognizing the need and being able to provide them with these services, because it's so necessary. I think it's important that they understand that they are not alone, you know. And when in the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned how how one doesn't know the pain until they've experienced it, until you've mm-hmm. actually gone through it. But it's just so good mm-hmm. to know that it's organizations in place like Mama Safe Haven that would give them an opportunity to be able to speak to that pain, to be able to mm-hmm. share the stories without being judged. You know, because unless you've experienced it, you don't know how we are ostracized. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah, because it's like, and I just want them to know that, you know, especially mothers of incarcerated children that may be listening, that it's not your fault. It's not your
fault.
We carry a lot of shame, pain, hurt, and guilt for things that we have no control over.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, I just encourage them to understand that as a mother, we want the best for our children, but our children are not mm-hmm. going to necessarily do what we want them to do. They are not going to live their lives for us, and they shouldn't, the same way we didn't live our lives for our parents.
That's right.
You know,
and that's real right there.
Yes, because at the end of the day, I'm I'm an open book. My son was wrongfully incarcerated for 3.5 years, and I fought, like hell, excuse my expression, you know, to try to bring awareness to the injustice that he was facing and stuff, you know. But during that process, I had to also understand that God had my son where he wanted him at. You know what I mean? So it's important that we stress to other mothers that come behind us and that are dealing with the judicial system or gun violence or whatever that is, that they have to remember that they have to let go. That's the only way. You know? So I'm just so thankful for Mama Safe Haven and all that you guys are doing and the difference that you guys are making in the community. So speaking of which, what's next for Mama Safe Haven?
Say it again.
What's next for Mama Safe Haven?
You know, what's next for Mama Safe Haven? We really are excited about encouraging others to do what is in them to do. And one of the things that's next for Mama Safe Haven is supporting victims and victim-initiated activities. So that's our goal, is to make sure that we're in a position to sponsor victims of violence with their ideas and goals and things that they would like to do. Because I'm going to tell you, that's where the healing is. I am a victim of violence. I've been through some things. So I just feel like it's best for us to come up with some antidotes and things that we can do. What has helped you may help someone else. So we're excited. That's what's next. If, you know how they say, we gotta reach back and help others. And that's what we're about with Mama Safe Haven. So we are looking for those who are interested in starting a business, and also the staffing agency. So that's what's really next, because we, again, we're looking for qualified candidates that we can match with the perfect employer. But also the ultimate goal is for that candidate to become an employer. So we are really sponsoring people who have business ideas, who want to start a business. We are also doing a training on how to start a business, how to write a book, how to start a nonprofit. So really just sharing these tools that were freely given to us and
mm-hmm.
giving it out freely. So just want to encourage everyone to follow us on social media at Mama Safe Haven on Facebook, on Instagram, and you can go to our webpage at mamasafehaven.org. And stay in, you know, keep up with the things that we're doing. And if anyone is in need of food, again, we have some really great dedicated sponsors. And just want to mention their names again: Thrive DC, Mutual Aid, Warship, Serve Your City, Moms Demand Action, the Alliance of Concerned Men, Capital Area Food Bank, you know, to say the least. Miss Melinda Robertson, thank you for giving us an opportunity to share on your platform.
Oh, ab- Absolutely. I'm honored to have you here. I'm just so amazed and impressed with all that you guys are doing. You're definitely making a huge impact in the community. You are making a difference. I like how you guys are so willing to share the tools that are able to help other people. Because I grew up in Southeast too. You know, when I was born, I was living in Woodland. And, you know, and Southeast is, you know, how they make Southeast look like, I mean, clearly it's the poorest section of the city, but at the same time, they try to imply that no one in Southeast has goals, dreams, or desires to be anything other than mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So it's just so honor to be able to salute another sister and say, hey, Queen, I recognize what you're doing. I'm so happy for you. You know what I mean? Because it's important that we do that, because at the end of the day, we have these daggone housewives shows that have black women on there acting like they're 10 years old. You know what I mean? And it's not a good look. You know, so it's not a good look at all. It's not a reality show. I mean, it's not somebody's really reality. It's all scripted. But a lot of young-minded, you know, young people, they see that, and it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. Take it to another level. So I'm just so thankful that God uses me and enables me to reach out and say, hey, I want to have you on the show. Talk about what you're doing in the community, because it takes a village, you know. Okay. And my mother, your mother, they were part of the village. But the village is no more, you know what I mean? But thanks to Mama Saving, you're rebuilding that village, sis. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And see, the thing about it is that's what I want to continue to stress, that when you're going through it, when you're in the fire, you know, you don't see a way, but you're not there by yourself. God is there with you. Whatever pain, God will turn that pain into purpose, but you just got to praise him through that pain. You got to continue to know who he is. You know what I mean? And it took me all my life to get there, but I'm so thankful today to know that no matter what it looks like, God is faithful, and he will bring you through it. And you went through all of that, you went through in those younger years, sis. I mean, it just hurts my heart to hear when I heard you share your story. But the thing about it is that God made you a victor and not a victim.
That's right.
You know, turned that thing around. And I thank you for using your story to empower others. So, sis, before we wind down, I want you to let listeners know where they can get that powerful book, He Kept Me, so that they will be able to, you know, get that information and help them through whatever they're going through.
Oh, awesome. So, He Kept Me, I wrote the book in 2011. You can find that book on Amazon. I'm sorry, I just drew a blank. I apologize. You can find the book on Amazon.com, Barnes and Noble, really everywhere books are sold. If you type in He Kept Me, Beverly F. Smith, it should pop up. I also have copies of my book for sale for $10. You can get your autographed copy of my book. I really, truly give out more of my books than I sell them, but I said that I was going to do a book talk.
Me too. I do too.
I order them, and I mean, we pay so much. I know I pay so much to order them, and then it end up being a part of what God is telling me to give back to the community. Because when I wrote the story, it wasn't for me to share. It was me purging, and God told me that that's a book. And I said, I can't share that. He said, no, that's my story. And so I just want everyone who may go get the book and read it, just know that I was able to share, because that's one of the questions everybody always asks. How was you able to, you know, share all of your dirt? And one of the things I realized was that that did not make me or break me. That was something that I had to go through, that I went through,
in order to be able to help someone else. So I don't look at it as shameful, and just want to encourage anyone out there who wants to write their story. What I did was I just changed the name, and it was very therapeutic. So I want to encourage anyone out there who wants to tell their story but is afraid of, you know, mentioning any names, or, you know, just don't want to get any backlash from anyone else. You can always change the names in it and, you know, get your healing.
Awesome,
so you
awesome.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome. I will definitely post that, Queen. Thank you so much for being
awesome.
On the show tonight. I am so excited about the upcoming You Go Girl Conference on the 24th. So you keep on keeping this. So I'm going to close out on that. And I want to say to the audience, that Beverly Smith Brown has quite a testimony. I thank God for her story and how he is using her to change the lives of so many. So I want you to remember that no matter what you're going through, trouble does not last always. Next week's guest will be Devon Davis from Cure the Street. Tune in to hear how this young brother's story of how he went from being part of the problem to becoming part of the solution. If you have a story of injustice you would like to share or would like to recommend a topic for discussion on a future, please DM Author Melinda Richardson across all social media platforms. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and we will be back next week. Stay safe and be blessed. Peace.
Y'all ready to ride? You the latest and the greatest of your lineage. Makeup and clothes ain't you, that's what your image is. Here's what it really is, perception is direction. You receive what you perceive, what you give is what you getting. This lesson is the weapon that I already gave you. Fear not, draw your gun, your God, universe, nature. Game changer, your higher self is calling you. The vehicle for change is arrived, what you wanna do?
I wanna take a ride, I wanna feel the vibe.
Rob, what you wanna do?
I wanna take a ride, I wanna feel the vibe, I'm feeling.